Well, it's time now for Changing Australia. And have you ever been scammed? Has your email ever been hacked, or have your personal details been stolen in a data breach? Well, if you're one of the millions of Australians who've fallen victim, it's likely you may have been told to contact the not-for-profit organisation called ID Care. It's Australia's national identity and cyber support service and a critical cog in responding to scams, cybercrime and identity theft. Its creator is Dr. David Lacey, who's my guest this morning. David, welcome to Changing Australia.
Good morning, Sally Sara.
In a previous life, David, you were working in national security, and at one point you were executive director of the Australian Crime Commission. How did an approach from a tax agent spark the idea for this organisation, ID Care?
Most of my time working in the Australian Crime Commission was in financial crime and scams and disrupting groups committing these things against the community. And I was at a presentation or a conference of tax agents in Melbourne, talking to them about the latest operation that was being conducted and the lessons for them. And I was approached by a tax agent afterwards who was literally in tears and shaking and said, "The tax office just told me that my agency's been hacked, all of my clients' details are stolen, and fraudulent tax returns are being submitted. What should I do?" So they saw me as government, and I took it upon myself to really investigate, well, what's the best advice I can give this person who was clearly in a state and was just really watching their business slip between their fingers. Got in a cab, went to Tullamarine, rang some people on the way, rang the tax office, rang the banks, rang police, rang government agencies. And on the back of the conference agenda, I cobbled together a bit of a response plan for him, called him at the airport. And I just noticed going through the steps that were around how to respond to this, his emotional state went from being disempowered to being empowered, and he felt much more in control. And I thought, surely something like this exists. What happens to others that are in this position? And that's, I guess, how it started.
So you've started this from that moment. How much distress do you see and hear with people? Some have just lost information, but others have had their life savings disappear.
Yeah, it's the best way to think of ID Care is it's almost like a hospital emergency room for people that experience the compromise of their personal details, and whether that be through scams and cybercrime or breaches. We have to focus on those that are most impacted, and quite often, Sally, that's those that lose their life savings. We get a few hundred people a week that lose their life savings, and obviously the future view of themselves and their families change dramatically when that happens. So it's not just the financial impact, it's the emotional impact. We also get people who are emotionally distressed by these crimes, particularly those that might be involved in an investment scam or a relationship scam. Relationship scams where the relationship doesn't exist, so there's a relationship breakdown that wasn't even true to start with. And then there's obviously the toll it takes with the financial losses and the theft of identity information that comes with it.
So if people do lose their life savings, are there many avenues to get that money back, or does it depend the way in which it was stolen?
Depends a lot on how it was stolen. So if I'm thinking of October this year, we had over 8,800 Australians reach in. They lost over $53 million, and the vast majority won't get that back. So they're dependent now on government, and that could be for some intergenerational. So it's got significant economic consequences beyond just that initial loss for that individual and obviously the dependents that rely on that individual.
When we're talking about those high-end cases where people have lost their life savings, what's the most common way in which that happens, that people are scammed?
Look, the most impactful, representing over 50% of the losses that we see reported just to ID Care, and I should say, Sally, I think we would see at best maybe 15% of it. The vast majority wouldn't come to ID Care. But of those that we'd see, half would be losing their funds through investment scams.
Right.
And this is on most of that commences on social media by way of, you know, an ad or, you know, an algorithm pushing particular ads and sites towards users, that the initial promise of just a small $500 US investment, which you can, you know, pay on your credit card or your debit card. So people see it as pretty low risk. They're told they're successful, which is all a con. And then the next thing they know, they're offered tiered services and encouragement to invest a lot more. And it's a slippery slope when that happens. They're showing fake sites about their fake investment and looking at growing. Some of them even saying, you're so good at this, Sally, we should come into business together and we can invest together. Mm. So it's quite a manipulation that's over the long duration. And with the advent of AI, we can see this only proliferating, where threat actors are going to rely on technologies where they can carry the conversation with an infinite number of people, not just, you know, 15 to 20 people that they might have on the go at any point in time.
What is it that people say to you if they have been scammed at that level? What do they say that they wish they had known before this happened?
It's a really interesting psychology to all of this. We have a cyber psychology team in Sydney that focus a lot, obviously, on the mental health impacts of these crimes, but also on the research side. So what influences people's belief of scammers and what influences their disbelief at some point in time. I think the strategy of many scammers is to isolate people from loved ones. And the reason they do that is they don't want the bystander to intervene. They've got that person where they want them, and that's being manipulated. And if they have a third party there that's trying to intervene, then that's a bad thing for a scammer. So many reflect and saying, geez, I wish I listened to my loved one. You know, I wish I paused. I think there's so much prevention messaging out there. It's a really noisy space. Whereas when I sit back and think about what influences people's belief of these things, I think it's knowing in yourself when you're vulnerable to being scammed, and that's often when you're busy. Mm-hmm. You know, most people that come to us are aged between 35 and 44. Mm. So it's not the super young and it's not the old.
That's interesting. Mm.
And I see them as the sandwich generation. So these are people that have got careers, typically kids, typically parents that they're also looking out for. So it's an extremely busy time of your life. And I think that part plays some part in this. Mm.
And if people are being funneled through social media, David, I was thinking as you're talking, you know, those algorithms sometimes, they're like a boa constrictor. You look, even as something simple, you look at a pair of sneakers online, it will keep pitching those sneakers to you again and again and again and again for what feels like weeks and months. So it's not like saying no or looking the other way once. These things keep at you repeated times.
They do, Sally. And the thing that never ceases to stop amazing me is that scammers predict when you're going to disbelieve. So they've got then other scams that they'll put into place, knowing that you're now disbelieving the first scam. And a classic scam of that nature is, I might have been involved in an investment scam or a relationship scam. The scammer knows who I bank with because I'm transferring money from my bank account. Now they're impersonating my bank saying, hey, Sally, we've just noticed there's some transactions on your account we think are fraudulent. We'd like to get access to your device just to make sure you're okay. And so people are being hit again. Mm. So there's almost like this scam entrapment that happens for victims. Mm. And it's not they're not gullible or stupid. I mean, I think that's a naive view of people that are involved in scams. They're much more sophisticated than what we give them credit for. And I think for a lot of people, it's point in time, busyness, and they're very, very good at what they do. This is what they do every day.
Mm. I want to ask you about shame, David. How much of a part of people's reaction when they realise they've been scammed is that? And do some people keep the fact that they've been scammed secret from family and friends if they can?
Yeah, I think many people do. As I mentioned before, I think we only see a minority of people coming to us. I think partly that's because of the shame aspect to it. I think we've conditioned the public, particularly over the last decade, to even feel shameful about their experience. So a lot of the prevention messaging is do not, do not, do not. Mm. And therefore, if you do, you must be silly. Mm. So I think there is definitely an element of shame there, and it's a burden that many victims carry for the rest of their lives, particularly if they've lost the life savings and they know they've got dependents. Mm. So we find that there's that longer emotional impact on that victim and an impact that we see felt not just financially with family members but also emotionally as well.
David, this is a not-for-profit. How is it funded, IDCare?
We've got the generous support of a variety of different organisations, and it's challenging because organisations will fund us to say, well, IDCare, we want you to look after Commonwealth clients, or we want you to look after banking clients. As a charity, we have to be very rigorous in terms of choosing those that we believe are most in need. So there's this constant tension we have to go through, and we've got a good team that's very attuned at doing that. But we're blessed that we're given some financial support. We could double in size and still not meet demand. Mm. That's the sad reality of the volume of what we're dealing with. And particularly, obviously, many Australians may not have heard of IDCare, but you're only really one degree of separation from us because of the support we get from government, from police, from financial institutions and others.
Mm. Well, it sounds like that trip to Tullamarine Airport in Melbourne all those years ago, a lot of change for you in your life and such a valuable service now. It's been so interesting to talk to you, David. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Ellie.
That's Dr. David Lacey, the founder of IDCare. And if you've been the victim of a scam or you think your data has been breached, you can contact IDCare. I'll give you the number 1-800-595-160.